sponsor of everyone. Sponsor of everyone. Now your dreams have just begun. Today is Father's Day. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show.
Hello, people.
Who are you?
My name is Grumpy Cat.
And I am Enlightened Cat.
I love Grumpy Cat. Grumpy Cat is the best.
And this is our show on enlightenment. What exactly is it? We're going to be talking about enlightenment in many different respects. And the opposite of Grumpy Cat would, in fact, be Enlightened Cat, would it not?
It could be. Or Happy Cat.
Well, how about Ecstatic Cat versus Grumpy Cat?
That's probably it, because if it was Enlightened Cat, it would probably be the opposite. It would be like Disillusioned Cat.
Okay, I'll be Disillusioned Cat.
Yeah, okay.
We'll do Good Cop, Bad Cop for this show.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
You're into that?
Yep.
All right, well, we are happy to announce, drum roll, please, in your minds, because we don't have one.
I'm back.
It doesn't sound like that.
Well,
try it again.
I'm not the singer of the band. So you tell everyone how it goes.
Well, we're going to play it later on, but we have been the last three shows ago already, we were going to release I'm Back, and we had several things get in the way of that, but we officially did it today, and what a fitting day to release I'm Back on iTunes on Father's Day. Celebrating the male.
Happy energy. Father's Day to the best dad in the universe.
Happy Father's Day, George. We've had a great day today hanging out with Ash's dad. He's also a drummer. And he drummed on I'm Back.
Yeah, he drummed on this song.
Yeah, so
listen to it and like it.
We've had a delightful day. Ash is indeed a little bit feeling the grumpy cat today.
No, I'm happy and I'm...
And you're lying.
I'm cheerful and enlightened today.
Having a bad day /okay day.
Everyone has always thought, how are you so cheery all the time? And you're always so positive. And I'm like, you know what? Eat me. Because sometimes I'm not, and I'm mad at iTunes. Well, not iTunes, but the process of iTunes. Just make it easier to put it up on iTunes, people, because you know what? You know what? We're not all website developers.
Yeah, but you know what all the website developers are saying to you right now, Grumpy Cat, a.k.a. Ash Riot?
What?
They're saying, that is easy, moron.
Well, you know what I say to them?
See, they called us moron. I heard it psychically.
And you know what I heard psychically?
What did you hear?
I can't even go into it, because if I do, I'll probably get sued or something. But anyway.
We're definitely bleeped a lot on this show.
It is a nice day.
Father's Day.
I like Father's Day. I went to the walk box. So did you.
I did indeed. George is like my dad.
Yeah, and we went to the walk box with him.
Because my dad died when I was an eight-year-old girl. And
your dad's awesome.
My dad's super cool. And I had some time with my dad this morning. Because those who have passed, you can still connect with them. And that's what I was doing. And it was lovely. And I posted on Facebook a picture of him and my brother and I. And I don't normally do a lot of super private things, although I have been very public about the fact that my father committed suicide when I was a young girl and how it affected me. And I'm happy to announce today, it's Realization Day. I am now Enlightened Cat, a.k.a. Cheryl Catherine
Smith. She is.
That I definitely, you know, I held it was a lot of pain. Like, hurt goes into anger, right? And feeling very much left and not normal. My friends had fathers and I didn't. And even with blended families, I just felt like I always a little bit different. And I feel very grateful today to have had him as a father and continue having him as a father. And I definitely forgive and let go of the anger, because I have a lot of empathy for him. And he was in a place in his life where he was suffering and was in a lot of pain. And I'm sorry for that. And if anything, I wish I could change it. But again, part of being enlightened, I believe, is accepting what is. And life is about change, and life is about all things altering, whether it's a parent leaving us or a spouse leaving us, or we're leaving a job, or, you know, or ending a friendship because it's not working in terms of serving either party. I mean, changing locations, moving, like your story we've done on the show before, where you had to go from being a football addict when you were a young girl to having your surgeries, and then it stopped you from being active, and then you picked up music. So you wouldn't even be a musician today.
I wouldn't be doing this radio show.
There you go. See, everything full circle, man. And here we are, and talking about enlightenment. What exactly is it? And the reason why this topic came to my mind as being something that was important to share is because I see a lot of New Age and very spiritual people and philosophies, and especially with Facebook, being exposed to Facebook, we see all sorts of things on Facebook. Newsfeed, like the new newspaper for us all. So there's a lot of groups that I'm involved in too, that I see a lot of the spiritual groups talking about enlightenment, and it seems to be something that everyone is attempting to obtain.
But in you saying that, though, you know what's funny?
What?
People are trying to obtain it all the time, right? But I say, if you have to brag about being enlightened, you're so not enlightened. Not enlightened. It's like, I've taken this journey, and I'm a bit further along than you, but don't worry. It's like, you're not enlightened. Go back to school. You drool. Suck. You suck.
You suck face.
You suck face.
You're funny. This is Grumpy Cat Ash coming out. You're funny.
I've seriously seen people like that before.
Well, I know. And I mean, I think we can say quite confidently that we probably have been those people before.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you're an innocent, beautiful,
people are like,
never faltering person. What?
But those people, do you do yoga?
Yeah, I did yoga.
No, that's what they say. They're like, do you do yoga? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, you know what? I can't bend my body into weird shapes, but you know what I can do? I can play the guitar. Can you? No? Okay. Who's more enlightened?
You should go, oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Give them the same tone.
Anyway, I really am a nice person.
Are you? Mm-hmm. See, if you really are a nice person, you don't have to tell the world you're a nice person. There you go.
I am, yeah.
Insert foot in mouth.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to talk about enlightenment in terms of definitions, just for greater clarity, because it's always about clarity for me. And there's kind of two roots of enlightenment. One is the known Buddhist root, because enlightenment has always been very, very connected to the Buddhist faith and philosophy. And there's also the spiritual definition of enlightenment, which is more kind of current now, and which is the full comprehension of a situation. The full comprehension of a situation. And the term enlightenment in the Buddhist philosophy it's used to translate several Buddhist terms and concepts, most notably nirvana, bodhi or bodhi, I don't know how to pronounce it, forgive me Buddhists, Kensho and Satori, I know those ones, and the enlightenment of the Buddha is the goal of the Buddhist path. And what they do, it literally means for Buddhists to have woken up and understood. So those definitions are very cohesive and can easily be conjoined. You like that?
I like that.
Because we've got the full comprehension of a situation, and we've got to have woken up and understood. Now, the one thing that I the reason why I was feeling important to talk about and share about enlightenment with everybody is I think it's important for all of us. Again, it's not about separation. It's about coming together, and it's about unity. And what you were describing earlier, what I'm getting from that, is this differentiation even there in enlightenment. Now, a truly enlightened person, for example, Siddhartha Buddha, would not be going, I am enlightened. But there are people who are graspers. Yep. And the Buddhists talk about grasping, right? And I believe that a lot of people, and this is not a judgment, this is an observation, because there's a lot of us that are grasping and so wanting to feel spiritually fulfilled and feeling spiritually connected that we're grasping at whatever fills that void, which Louis Pasteur described as inside every man is a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. And we can call God spirit, creator, goddess, whatever we choose. And I think it's important with enlightenment, it's all about light, you know, focus on the light, not the darkness, for all of us to recognize and realize that perhaps we all are already there. And this goes back to all of our knowing. It goes back to us having knowing and understanding in the highest places of us, the place, the soul that goes beyond the physical body, that has understanding and knowledge that goes beyond the physical mind. And so if we were to see ourselves as already there, perhaps that might change our outlook on what enlightenment is. I also know that there's people who are very much on the path of enlightenment, and it's a journey for them, and it does actually come in steps of reveal, which is about being an experiencer, about being here in this physical form on this planet and having this human nature versus spiritual being experience, because we're both, right? So why don't you talk a little bit about enlightenment, what it means to you, Ash?
Well, I think that there can be personal enlightenment, and it doesn't have to be, like, you know what you said, like it's the quote that you said before, that enlightenment is the full comprehension of a situation. But I think that, like, when people talk about enlightenment, they think of it as a big, huge blanket. That when people talk about enlightenment, it's like the situation, i.e. life, is like, I don't think anybody can truly be fully comprehended on life. I think they can be fully comprehend, like, that they can comprehend their own situations, I'll say. Like, say that it's like, you know, I've been enlightened because I finally figured out what I want to do for a career. Or I've finally been enlightened because, you know, I really feel at peace with the song we're writing. And, you know, I feel enlightened. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do this. I think that enlightenment, like a better word for enlightenment, I really believe is clarity. Because enlightenment, to me, feels like too much pressure. Because if you're like, oh, finally, I feel so enlightened, I get this, and then you're kind of go, and then if anything slips at all, you're like, oh, crap, I was never really enlightened at all. But clarity, to me, is less pressure. You can go, I have some clarity on this, and that feels good, because if it doesn't work out, you know, it's not as big of a deal. But to me, enlightenment has always been more of a big of a deal, and that's what people work towards, is unenlightenment of some sort. But, like, I choose to find enlightenments in more places than just the big blanket statement of life. Like, I can feel enlightened even if I'm having a problem with a student or something, and it's not working, you know, we're just butting heads or something, and then I find a way to bridge the gap between us. You know, I feel really enlightenment. I feel clarity. And that's, to me, the enlightenment and clarity, they feel carefree, even for a second, even if it doesn't have to be some big movement. It can even just be a feeling of just finally being able to breathe for a second. I don't think enlightenment is as big as people say.
But there's a reason why people are talking about enlightenment. In the same, our last show 2 weeks ago was what would happen if religions were to disappear? And to me, there's a synonymous quality to both of these topics, because I see, this is my own personal viewpoint, I see the goal of enlightenment very similar to the goal of religious spirituality, in that it's almost as if we're on the planet and we're having this, we're striving. Mm-hmm. So if I'm on the planet and I have a religious belief that if I don't act a certain way, I'm going to not go to heaven. Let's mm-hmm. just keep it like really simple there. Then I'm going to be focusing all of my attention on acting a certain way to reach the goal that I am hopefully going to find after I die. Mm-hmm. And I kind of see, I know that enlightenment, people see enlightenment in the way that it's something that can be achieved during life, but to me, it's the same kind of process. It gets you to the end of your life. Mm-hmm. And one thing that was interesting, I'm personally not a Buddhist, and I don't know a lot about Buddhism. I thought I did until I start actually looking into it and realize how little I do know. And one thing that came to mind in my research for the show was talking about Nirvana. Ash and I love the band Nirvana very much, and I think it was kind of tongue-in-cheek in a way that Kurt Cobain chose that name for the band. But it's really interesting because Nirvana itself, Ash and I were going, we think it's a state of being in Zen, right? But in mm-hmm. fact, what Nirvana is, it's one of the attainment in enlightenment. It's one of the four, like I just mentioned. I think there was four of them. Yeah, four. And what it specifically means is when you recognize that you don't need to come back anymore, meaning you don't have to come back to this world in another life form, that you don't have to reincarnate. And I thought, how interesting. And then I also thought, I, Cheryl Catherine Smith, have truly attained Nirvana, because I've already made that actually statement before to very, very close people, mm-hmm. only close people, and now to you guys out there, that I'm not coming back. Mm-hmm. This is it. And I've known this for a long time. So I thought, maybe I'm a little bit Buddhist and you a little bit rock and roll.
That could be.
But I like to think of anything. Of course, we want to have a goal in our lives, whether it's a career goal or a relationship goal or a spiritual goal, or all of those goals. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to have goals, but I also think it's important for us to be easier on ourselves. And I liked what you said, Ash. You were talking about, you like to say clarity as opposed to enlightenment, because enlightenment, it just seems bigger and bolder, mm-hmm. right? And more, almost more.
Too much pressure.
Kind of more, filled with ego a bit.
Yeah,
in an odd way, kind of. Well, are you on the path to enlightenment? You can go, well, aren't we all, right?
Exactly.
So we welcome your thoughts and your goals and your experiences with enlightenment.
We would like you to call us. That would be really fun. And I will give you the number, friends. the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008, and call in, share your thoughts with us. And
we are live right now. It's Father's Day, June 16th. For those of you who are listening, this is not a repeat program unless it's not June 16th. And so we welcome your calls.
And we also want to, kind of have a little bit of a think break for you. And whenever Bob, I was just thinking to check the Twitter to see Bob Twitter. And then now he's going to be like, you gave me a shout-out on the radio.
Well,
it's Don.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, hey, Bob. He's one of our super fans from Pennsylvania. And I was just thinking.
And honorary guitarist.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, Bob, in my head, we got to check it.
Well,
Bob,
you better check because you've got your phone. Twitter, yeah. I don't have my phone with me.
Don't know if you tweeted Bob, but now if this is a reminder, if you're listening to the show, tweet us in a question or better yet, call.
Yeah.
But Don, we want to play I'm Back. For you guys, the song that we finally released
today.
And it'll be up, I guess they say, to allow a couple days, right?
Yeah. So keep your eyes out open, or keep them in your head.
Keep
and
checking
open.
iTunes.
All right. And we're going to listen to I'm Back.
Thank you.
Well, we're back. Did we catch you off guard? I just had to say that. I have a lot of sighs. I can hear the sighs out there. Yes, I sigh with you. We are talking about enlightenment. That was our song. Hologram is our band. That was our song. It's called I'm Back, and it's been released as of today digitally. And we invite you to enjoy it and purchase it. And it looks like we do have a Twitter.
Yeah, I just saw we do right now. But I'm going to give you the number while she gets ready for the tweet. He's going to tweet us a question right now.
It's not a question. He's making a statement. This is from Woody's alter ego on Twitter, at Freaking Annoyed. And he says, re-enlightenment question mark? I think my bulb went out years ago. LOL. Let's talk about bulbs. Bulbs going out.
Okay. So... That's hilarious. Okay, so what would your first response to Bob be,
if any? Is his bulb going out?
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's easy to get, I know he's being tongue-in-cheek and funny, but I think, quite honestly, I think it's easy for any of us to get discouraged. There's so many schools of thought, and there's so many concepts, and there's so many conspiracy theories, and there's so many, you know, atrocities and tragedies, and it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to think, where would enlightenment be in all of this darkness and all of this mess? And there, in fact, is enlightenment in all of it. And it's about each of us recognizing the power that we each have and not surrendering or losing our power to what we believe or what we see as a situation. And a lot of us believe things at face value, and it's important for us to be inquisitive, and it's important for us to get in touch with our intuitive selves and listen and honor our intuitive selves and, you know when you're being lied to or something is being misrepresented or something is being, there's an agenda behind something that doesn't, isn't to do with the highest good for all. And I think that's the best thing we can do for ourselves is to honor each and every one of ourselves, get to that place of self-knowledge.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
That's enlightening.
I like the way you speak.
Why, thank you. I speak with a little bit of Eastern Canada, a little bit of Western Canada, a little bit of Australia, and some American in there.
Yeah.
There you go. That's you like awesome. My speak?
I love your speak. Tell everyone the number again.
The number to call in, for those of you who are not shy, and we welcome your calls, is 888-627-6008. And even if you are shy, call us anyway. Getting on with enlightenment, I want to talk about, go more into the Buddhist, because that, as I said before, is what's generally understood in relationship to the word enlightenment, is the Buddhist philosophy on enlightenment. And so this is what is a continuation. I named the four different attributes of enlightenment and what they each mean, and what, and focusing on the one that I didn't know if I was pronouncing it correctly, the Bodhi. Oh, I still have my cold. I still can't.
I know.
I'm just, it's rough, man. Anyway, the Buddha viewed enlightenment as destroying the disturbances of the mind and attaining concentration of the mind. And thusly, he attained three knowledges. And these are the three. Insight into his past lives. And there's the connection to nirvana again. Number two, insight into the workings of karma and reincarnation. And number three, insight into the Four Noble Truths. And what the Four Noble Truths are connected to is what I was, is the dukkha. And what dukkha is suffering, anxiety, and dissatisfaction. And so in essence, it's insight into why we suffer, why we have anxiety, why we are dissatisfied. So I think that's really interesting for us to kind of translate what that would mean in terms of our own lives individually. Mm-hmm. Are any of us, or most of us who are listening to this program, aware or even believe in past lives? I didn't believe in past lives.
I don't know if I still do. Like, I believe in past lives, but I don't, okay, I believe in everyone else's, that can happen, but I just...
But you don't believe in yours?
No, I do believe in mine. I'm just, I can't pinpoint mine is easy because my mind gets in there.
Well, that's why you need to do number one. You need to destroy the disturbances of the mind.
Yeah.
And attain concentration of the mind. Try and, you know, this is where meditation is.
Yeah.
Most people can't meditate, or they say they can't, because the mind gets in there.
Yeah, that's true.
And how do you quiet the mind, and how do you tell the mind, you know, to shut up?
I don't know. I wish I knew that. If I knew that, things would be a lot easier.
Well, meditation is like being a runner. When you're running, it's painful until you get to a certain point.
I hate running.
Well, okay, so meditation is the same thing. Meditation, I equate it with running. It's okay. Painful to a certain point, and then you pass that point. I can't remember the name of it. It's slipping my mind. Where you actually are free of the pain and you're just gliding along. Well, I've had that same thing in meditation where it's just like that runner's break where, yeah, it's tough to quiet the mind, but once that mind is quietened, it's euphoric. It's hard to describe. And those of you out there who have done meditation to that point understand what I'm talking about. And that's the state where I feel it's destroying the disturbances of the mind. It's like that runner's break where you're just floating.
I think of it more like bowling.
Okay, how is it like bowling?
Because you first start and you're like, oh, I don't really,
I don't really get
the hang of this. I kind of suck. And, oh my God, like, do I keep my arm up and stand up straight, or do I go this way? And whatever, you're concentrating. Then as soon as you let go and you let the ball and you just, you know, kind of free yourself a little bit, it's a lot easier to let the ball roll down the lane. And then you get a strike and you're like, oh yeah, this kind of rules.
Yeah, and then you get tired and then you're lousy again, right?
Not necessarily.
That's my bowling experience.
That could be.
It takes me a while to warm up.
Yeah,
and then
but
it's
I
like
was
my,
on a bowling team. Were like, you?
Yeah, I was when I was a kid. And then all my kid stuff comes back and suddenly I'm just this rockin' bowler.
I
and
know.
Then I
Don't
lose
bowl
it.
With her. Don't bowl with her. She win. I've never
no,
lost
I'm not,
a game to
I,
her.
That's not true.
I mean, I've never won a game to you.
I don't know if that's true. But anyway, getting back to the whole point is, It's rough at the beginning of anything. Anything we pick up, anything we try, even learning guitar. When you're first learning guitar, it feels like you just want to chuck the guitar across the room. Because it's just like, I'm lousy. I can't play. I don't know how to do this. And then when you get it, it's like something goes off. It's like that aha. It's that clarity, Ash. It's that enlightenment that I can, in fact, play this instrument.
That's true.
I'm not useless.
That's true.
So there's your clarity in terms of you being a musician and playing guitar.
That is true.
But getting back to what the truth of dukkha is, which is suffering, anxiety, dissatisfaction, because this is what the Buddhist enlightenment is that we learn the truth of these things. So what is the truth of these things? Why do we suffer? Why are we dissatisfied with our lives, you know?
So we know what the opposite is.
That's what I think.
That's what I think. But if you're really dissatisfied with something for a long time, what do you really have to strive for?
And they speak about these dissatisfaction and life stuff like getting old, dying, death, suffering in physical and mental illness, the stress of hanging on to things that are constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just holding on to a pair of pants that you absolutely love, if you wear them every day, eventually they're going to wear out.
Yeah.
And you can't wear them anymore. They don't look the same. So, you know, you can become stressed and go, I'm never going to find those pants again. And I look so good in those pants.
That's true.
And damn it, where are those pants? Mm-hmm. I can't let go of these. And some people, I've seen people with cars, with vehicles, with clothing, they're just striving to keep them like impeccable. But, you know, life is about change.
Mm-hmm.
Cars get old, cars rust, pants get old, they start to get threadbare. We break our favorite vases and we can't find them again. So really part of enlightenment is accepting all of the change that we are in a lifetime going to experience, allowing people, places, and things to change around us instead of hanging on to a concept of what a person was like yesterday and how they are today towards us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people change. The way people feel changes. So, you know, if we can actually let go, the ultimate surrender of all things and even let go of suffering, because some of us are addicted to suffering.
That's true.
Some of us are addicted to drama. Some of us are addicted to the poor me syndrome, right? I suffer, therefore I have, you know, feel sorry for me. That's kind of like energy sucking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so just kind of, you know, knowing that there's a subtle dissatisfaction that pervades all life forms, and it's because all life forms are always changing. So how, we're a life form, and how do we put ourselves in that place of acceptance? And so in the blurb, one of the things I said, well, maybe we're already enlightened. Maybe it's not something that we have to attain. Maybe it's not something that we have to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
What if each and every one of us was already enlightened?
Hmm. How, yeah. What does that mean?
What does it mean?
I think that if we're all already enlightened, I don't think we should be as hard on ourselves then.
That's right.
Because if we're just in...
or each other.
But exactly. But if we're just in a state of enlightenment, which I honestly don't think we are, I think that we're not enlightened at all. I think
well,
that,
culturally, you mean? Or as a society? Or
no,
as a world?
Personally.
You're not enlightened?
No, I don't think...
I'm not enlightened?
I don't think anyone is personally... There's no one state of enlightenment that you can say, like, oh, we're enlightened. I think that we're always enlightening. Like, we're on a constant journey of it. Because I think if we were already enlightened, there would be nothing to be here for.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think, it's not like as drastic.
See, good cop, bad cop.
It's not as drastic as I'm saying, though. I mean, I think that we're all okay. I think that we all worry too much. We worry about sickness too much, me included. I totally am a worry wart. I think that we are too caught in jealousy. I think there's a lot of things that are keeping us from being enlightened in certain areas. But I think as a whole that there is enlightenment happening, enlightening. But I don't think, again, it's not a blanket statement. I think that we are always faced with enlightenment and we are faced with disillusionment. And as we kind of move along and we get familiar with even more parts of ourselves, I think that it's easier to be enlightened by, be enlightened rather than be disillusioned. For me, especially, like, I mean, as a musician and everything, there was a time in my life when I was just young and just starting out, and I didn't want to sing in front of anybody, or I didn't want to, you know, bare my soul like that. And I think that enlightenment, because I've had that sort of experience, I've lived a little bit, you know, it's 10 years or more later, and I think enlightenment is experience, because it's getting comfortable in your own skin. It's understanding that, you know, you can bear a little bit of yourself without being completely trampled on or without jumping off of a plank. It's just about taking a bit more of a chance, and I think that you're growing more skin as you do that. So that's why I think that enlightenment, it's more of a process than something that's already given, but I do believe that, I'm kind of half with you, half with me here. Like, I do believe that we are always enlightening, but I don't think it's one solid, oh, we're enlightened.
Well, I think that I have a different viewpoint. This is what's so great, is that you and I can coexist. And I also, I kind of look at my life now, and I'm recognizing the enlightenment that I do have. And I'm also taking a look at my darkness. I'm looking at the parts of me that by nature aren't enlightened, because they're my darker parts. They're my fears, and they're my physical illnesses and my distresses and my worries and my stresses. And instead of judging myself, especially as a spiritual person, I think sometimes we can be extra hard on ourselves, or actually the opposite, a little bit too lenient. It's kind of finding that middle ground and accepting that we are indeed, I am indeed light and dark. There's no way around it. I can't squelch the dark. I can embrace it. Not that I say, hey, I have a bad thought, I'm going to just run with it and create havoc and harm and despair. But I can acknowledge it, and I don't allow it to get rid of the light that I want to focus on.
That's true.
And so my enlightenment journey has been, that is one of them. We're talking about past lives, and I didn't, you know, I heard what you had to say. But personally, I have had a lot of, I have a connection to past lives. I have an understanding as to who I am in this life. I have an understanding of what my past lives meant in this life and the context of me being here. It's a belief that I've come to learn. It's not something that I was grown up being taught about past lives. In fact, I was raised in a Christian household where that's the last thing you would talk about because it doesn't happen. And I think it's kind of ignorant of us not to believe that we have somehow, if energy never changes and never dies and we are energy, then where were we before? Mm-hmm. And where we'll be after? We have to ask those questions, because it's not like we go pop and, oh yeah, okay, now I'll continue. Mm-hmm. It's, we've already been. So it's the transformations that each of us have had. So just even from a logical standpoint, just from a scientific standpoint, I see that past lives and reincarnation make sense. And I had, you know, been exposed to past life regressions, and I thought, well, that was kind of ridiculous. I used to think that all of this was a bunch of BS. And just my evolvement, and I say it's evolvement because I have evolved. I've come to know.
Evolvement is a better word than enlightenment. That's good.
Evolvement?
Evolved. Yeah, evolvement. That, all right. That, to me, hit the nail on the head.
All right, so I am evolved.
Thank
or
you.
Am I evolving? I think I'm both.
I was just going
to
say.
And there's the duality. So getting back to the aspect of past lives and having a connection with what has been in the past, what is today and what is tomorrow. Because everything that we do today is leading us to our experience for tomorrow, right? Every choice. Mm-hmm. And every past thing has brought us to here. Mm-hmm. So there is that time connection that we all have. And so there's the evolvement, because time is necessary for us to feel that we have almost like a treadmill of discrepancy, where we can say, well, 10 years ago I was this person. Well, 10 years to, you know, later, look at who I am now. Mm-hmm. It could even be physical changes. 10 years ago I was, you know, how many pounds lighter, or had more hair depending on, or less hair depending on who you are, or maybe you're heavier 10 years ago. But, you know, physically we can sort of relate, but how about emotionally and mentally and spiritually? Mm-hmm. You know, look at where you were 10 years ago emotionally. Look at where you were 10 years ago spiritually. And recognize enlightenment, evolvement in your own path, right? And so for me, instead of, you know, kind of, I've always been really hard on myself. I've always been a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. It's my nature. I don't like it about myself, but you know what? It is what it is. So I learned to live with myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And I learned to sort of see it as, you know, it's a striving in my way for excellence. Mm-hmm. And it's important for me in my evolvement and enlightenment not to be so hard on myself. Whereas I've seen others that maybe I, in my mind, I'm thinking it probably would be better if you were a little harder on yourself. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's, again, it's just kind of like, how can I do that? Where it's human nature. We kind of oftentimes want to find ourselves in comparison to others. Like, where am I at in my career? I'm such and such an age, and so and so is here, and I'm here. Am I not, you know? We're kind of taught to do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of involvement and enlightenment is unlearning.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
We've been taught.
I actually thought about that the other day. Like, how many kids I was actually thinking about a few of the kids I went to high school with, because I went to a Christian school and elementary school. And even though I didn't really know the difference or anything between, say, like, you know, religion or secular living or anything like that, but that's what people would call the music. In school, when, you know, when it wasn't a band that was Christian, they
called
secular.
I remember that too.
And so,
like, it was a bad word.
Yeah, secular haze. But anyway, so I was just thinking about that the other day, like, just how scared people were of secular, and how scared people were to you know, let something in that they weren't completely sure of, or that, you know, they keep these blinders on. And I think that as soon as you take your blinders off, that's when the involvement starts, because, you know, I'm not even talking about religion. Like, I'm talking about even something as simple as somebody hating a certain style of music. So even if you hate something, whatever, but if you've never actually listened to it, if you're just like, oh, I listened to a song once, a country song, and it was horrible.
It's like, so all country is bad? Yeah.
It's like, just the, I think that one of the things that makes us de-evolve the fastest is blindness. Being blind or being close-minded.
Ignorance.
Yeah.
Ignorance. And apathy. Mm-hmm. Apathy is far more destructive than hate.
Well, exactly. And that's why I was talking about the people from my school. It's like, they'd be so scared of something. So instead of actually doing their research about it, they'd just hate it. And even that could be...
But they're taught to be afraid.
Exactly. And that's why, yeah, I'm saying, like, I wonder how, if I could go see them now, like, get in contact with everybody or get them into a room, how much involvement I'd see, or how much just stagnant, just, you know, the stagnant behavior, like, if that stuck around.
Well, I think it's important for us. The reason why I wanted to talk about enlightenment is I wanted to take the mystique out of it for everybody, because I think it's imperative that we don't see anything as above us or unattainable or something that belongs to another religion or philosophy, that we can embrace all these concepts, and we can even look at our own lives and see where it applies in our lives. And enlightenment is almost seen as and understood to be kind of the know-all and the be-all in terms of a spiritual development, like the ultimate in spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're striving to be the ultimate in spirituality in this planet, in this physical form, knowing full well that we already are that ultimate spirituality, how does that relate to our lives here? Can we actually be a little kinder to ourselves? Can we actually have more trust, more faith, more trust in not only our own life circumstances, but even the planet's circumstances? And it's not to say that we're complacent and we just sort of take things at face value and we just accept things and we don't do anything. Of course, we need to each, you know, contribute.
I think the best example, actually, is I look at Travis, who fell asleep sitting up. He's asleep. he's sitting up and he's looking.
We have
back.
Travis, our rescue wonder dog, here with us as we do our show, and he likes to just hang out with us.
And that's what I was thinking, like, animals are the best example. I mean, look at, he had absolutely zero reason to trust. He's a rescue dog. He was abused. He has no reason to trust two people coming to just take him somewhere else, that he's not going to be hurt or he's not going to be...
And he didn't trust. I mean, yeah, it took him time at the beginning.
He evolved.
Well, he definitely became enlightened, didn't he?
Yeah.
And now he trusts. He's actually in Ash's arms right now, you know, just, he's not even, his paws are sticking straight out in the air and his head's way back. He looks almost uncomfortable, but
he fell asleep.
He's in sleep bliss. He's in sleep bliss. So, so enlightenment is something I believe that all of us can and have already achieved. And whether you believe that or not, that's okay. I just think it's important for us to be a little kinder to ourselves and not to be so hard on ourselves in terms of judging our own paths and judging where we're at, and acknowledging when we need to improve, acknowledging when we have allowed our darkness to kind of overtake the light, allowing the enlightenment to become more prevalent as opposed to the darkness, which is fear and hatred and jealousy and all the darker, what in the 12-step program they call defects of character. And the thing that the 12-step program also taught me when I was a part of it many years ago was the fact that all defects of character are originally assets.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're kind of assets gone awry. So when we can look at our, for example, me, like my perfectionism, if I can look at it and sort of and understand when it gets a little out of control and when it's actually causing harm not only to myself but maybe even to others, because I have very high expectations not only of myself and I put that on other people, you know, being a little easier. So the asset is, it's great to be a person who pays attention to detail. It's great to be a person who likes things to be done really well. And, mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. But perfectionism can be destructive when it's actually me not even allowing, as an artist, for example, things to just happen. I have to get out of my own way when I'm creating oftentimes, because I learned this in university when I was taking a painting class, and my degree is in studio art and English literature. And so I was taking a painting class, and I'll never forget the instructor. I was so upset because something had gone wrong. I was doing this painting and I messed it up. In my mind, I destroyed it, and I was so pissed off. And he said, he's just saying, it's just become something else and work with that. And that was a gift. And it also happened in pottery. I was building this very large vase, and I was doing a hand building, and I had put too much weight on too quickly. And I come back one day and it had sunk. And I was just the same thing. I was so upset because it wasn't what I envisioned it to be. In my mind, I saw this perfectly symmetrical, beautiful pot. And what it had become was this asymmetrical, odd-looking, saggy thing. And I had to, because of my painting experience, he gave me permission. His view gave me permission to look at my pot in a new way. And it actually is probably the piece I sold for the highest amount of money. And I'm not trying to put a dollar figure on it. I'm just saying that somebody saw the beauty of what I originally thought was a mistake. So I think we have to kind of do this in our own lives too.
Agreed.
You know, take everything. So who's on line one? We got Ash's mom. Ash's mom is on line one.
Hello.
Hey, Janice.
I love the song. You're having a wonderful radio show tonight. Hi, how are you?
We're not.
What?
She might not be there, but maybe we can try again.
Hello?
There she is.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I love your... Good, I love your show tonight.
Thank you. Is it fun?
Yes, it's very fun.
Thank you.
Are you having fun listening to us? Thank you for listening. What do you have to say, Janice? Offer us your wisdom.
Okay, my wisdom is, you were talking about enlightenment, and you just brushed the subject of animals. We can learn so much from animals, like trust, like complete trust. Like the other day, remember we were in the hot tub, and we had Travis in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And there was complete trust there. That you know, when he was in our arms, that he knew we wouldn't let him go. He trusted us. To me, I don't know, trust, enlightenment, it kind of, you know what I mean? Like it's animals can teach us something about enlightenment, I think.
I think they're already enlightened.
Medium. What's that?
I think they're already enlightened.
That's what I'm saying. We can learn something from animals.
Definitely.
You know, you just take a look at them, and they're just, I mean, they're so trusting, and they're so pure. You know, they don't know how to, my grandmother always told me, she says, animals, and this is like an old wives' tale, but animals have seen the face of God because they're perfect. They only kill for food, or if they're being threatened, if they love you, they love you completely. I don't know. It's just animals are like, you know, like I say, they've seen the face of God. Like that's what we believe in, and that's why. And my grandmother used to say that's why they can't speak. Is because they would tell us the secret of life, and then we'd monopolize on that, and we'd, you know, make a buck off that. So that's my words of wisdom.
I think your words of wisdom are always great, and I also know that there's... I think that animals, that, like,
I think that that's one of the things that will help us enlighten is when we can start treating animals as equals.
Oh, and they should be. There's just too much abuses and too much, they're like children, and anybody that hurts an animal should be treated the same way as if they'd hurt a baby, because babies can't speak for themselves, neither can animals.
Like that total jerk that threw the dog across the field, that soccer player, and then he was kicked off the team. Oh, I'm glad he got
kicked off the team. He should have had criminal charges brought against him.
That's what everyone
Because if he treats an animal like that, how's he treating his wife at home or his children? If he doesn't if he can't think or have enough respect for another life, of whether it's an animal or a human being, then, you know, what's his life like at home?
I wrote a message on the bottom of his video on Yahoo and told him I was such an ass. But, well, I guess I wasn't. I just wasn't enlightened.
No.
What did you say?
Yeah.
I said that I hope that your path includes you dying, coming back as a fly, getting swatted to death, then coming back again. Yeah, I wasn't very nice. But see, I told you I'm grumpy Ash today. But I think that I just don't have patience for animal abusers, so I don't regret saying that.
Instead of grumpy cat, it'll be grumpy ass Ash.
Grumpy ass Ash.
Grumpy ass.
Yeah.
So many people, they always do that. They say, they say my name by accident. They're like, hey, Ash.
Hey, Ass.
Cheryl's done it, too.
I've done it, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't by accident. I'm kidding. Well, thank you, because I appreciate you sharing that about the animals, because we feel the same way. It's true that animals are so
pure.
Close to the purity, which is source, which is creator, which is, you know, light. And thank you for that. They are enlightened. And if we just kind of look at them as all enlightened, then we would perhaps recognize that we can learn so much from people or animals that especially we think maybe sometimes are less than we are, when in fact they are not. So thank you for
exactly.
that. We have to start saying our goodbyes. So thank you, Janice, for calling in.
Thank you for being an amazing cook.
And an amazing mother.
An
and
amazing
sharing
mother.
Your wisdom and your light and your love. And we appreciate you. So thank you.
You're just waiting to sign off to come up for cheesecake.
That would be correct.
Okay.
Cheesecake.
Love you guys. Good show.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
So cheesecake is an enlightening food, right?
It is. I believe so.
It enlightens us.
And Travis Cuddles.
So we thank you for listening, and we invite your show ideas to be sent to our email. If you would like to hear us talk on a subject that we haven't already done so, please email us at hologram@outlook.com. And that's hollow-gram@outlook.com. And we'd be pleased to definitely consider your ideas for future shows. We thank you for listening, for supporting our music. And we invite you to kiss trees and
kiss a tree.
Recognize that they too are enlightened. We send you much love. Goodbye for now.
Bye.